Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. There are many, well, pretty much all parts of Christianity that when I contemplate what is required of me, the initial emotion starts to head towards despair because I don't know how I'm going to be able to do that. Or when I look at the kind of person that I am supposed to be at my core and I truly examine myself, there can be a fear. Hebrews 12:14 says, strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. That sounds pretty big. I think of myself and how far I have to go then to see the Lord. And it brings me to my knees because that's not me. I'm a sinner. I praise God for my Savior, Jesus Christ, who saved me not because of my holiness, but because of His. He lived the holy and perfect life that I should be living. And He took the punishment on the cross that I deserve so that I can be viewed in the Father's eyes as holy. And several passages, like the one we're going to get from Jesus today, have the same effect on me, and I know you as well. They show me my need for Jesus. They show me my need not because I can't present holiness or behave in a holy way, present that to others, but because Jesus' point is that it's not about what others see or even what I do. It's about the state and the condition of my heart. What's going on in my heart? Verse 8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So let's look at the heart today. Look at what purity of heart means and see how we are blessed through it and because of it. So first, the heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the spring of life. So we tend to think that the heart is only the emotional aspect of our being, right? We have the head, we have the heart. It's where our love comes from and where compassion and kindness comes from. And then the mind is, since we tend to think of it as something else altogether, the mind is where we understand things, where we think, where true doctrine is hashed out, and it finds its home. But the heart, biblically, can't be segmented like this. The heart is much deeper than emotions. The heart is the center of our personality. It's what we feel, what we desire, what we choose, what we think, what we value, certainly what we love. But it is our orientation toward God or our orientation away from God. We have a heart for God, or we have a heart for the world, for sin, for something else. Jesus is going to say in Matthew 15, out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. Now notice he said thoughts come out of the heart, right? So it's all encompassing of your personality and your desires. It's not just what you think. It includes what we think as well as what we feel, right? So, but we can't, when we think of pure in heart, it's not just emotions. Paul says in Romans 10, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe where? In your heart, right? So there's some belief in the heart. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, one believes and is justified. And with the mouth, one confesses and is saved. But Jesus, along these lines, you shall love the Lord with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all your strength, right? All of your being is what's being talked about. So the heart, understanding it, being aware of it, keeping it faithful, protecting it with all vigilance, all critical to the Christian life. So what does pure in heart mean? A pure heart is one that is first made pure through new birth. God has removed and replaced the defiled, the impure heart with a new one. He talks about this in Ezekiel 36. I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. I will remove the heart of stone, right, the impure heart, from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh and will put my spirit within you. And this is what the result of this new heart does. And I will cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. So a pure in heart is first a new heart. You are born again. Your eyes are opened, right? You don't care anything about God. You may not believe God. And then your eyes are open to see not only is he real, but there's his glory is everywhere. And there's this spiritual world that's right here in our face. And that's when the gospel takes effect, right? Then we realize we're a sinner and we realize that Jesus died for our sins and we cry out to him. But first we must have that new heart, born again, eyes opened. So that's the beginning of a pure heart. But it is also one that is undivided. A pure heart is a heart that is undivided. Its focus is on its relationship with God and glorifying God's name. It's not split in two, half going after the world and half given to God, or part of it given to God, right? It's undivided. David says in Psalm 86:11, teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. That's a great verse, right? Unite my heart. Make it undivided, right? If it's split between this and that and you, unite it so that it's all for you and that all fears your name. So a pure heart is one that's born again. It's one that's undivided. It's one that is single-minded, as I said, not halfway chasing God and halfway chasing the world. Its focus is on the Lord. It's not deceptive, a pure heart. Really loving the world, but presenting something else from others. This is what it means to take the Lord's name in vain. You say you're a Christian, but that's not the condition of your heart. That's not what your life gives evidence. It's vanity. You're saying I'm a Christian, but your heart is something else. A pure heart is loving God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, all of your strength. And it's that purity, undivided, fully focused on God, born again, single-minded. That's the purity in heart that sees God. A pure in heart is also one that is sincere. It's transparent before men. It doesn't live in a duplicitous way. It interacts with each other out of love, out of purity. This is who I am. This is who I really am. This is who God changed me to be, and that's how I'm going to interact with you. Timothy gives us a couple great passages on the purpose of the pure in heart. 1 Timothy 1:5, the aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart, right? Undivided, unsplit, not duplicitous, born again. And a good conscience and a sincere faith. That's our charge. That's how we are to interact with each other. 2 Timothy 2:22. Flee youthful passions. Pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. It's the beginning. It's focused, right? You get the picture. Born again. united, not duplicitous. It's a pure heart. Heart that's been declared pure. It's been purified, and it seeks to grow in purity. So how will those who are pure in heart see God? We tend to treat our life and our faith as if not sinning is the only goal, don't we? We can fall in that rut, or treat good works as if they are the end goal. But look at this passage. Purity in heart isn't even the end goal. What's the end goal? The result that comes from purity in heart. We will see God. We will see God. How many people say, well, if Jesus, I would believe if he would just show up, right? Now, we know that's foolish because lots of people didn't believe when he was right there. Right? But we will see God because of purity in heart. So first there's, yes, a justification aspect to it. We must be born again in order to see the kingdom of God. But there's also there is no glorifying if you cannot see his glory. There's no talking about how great God is if you don't really see it. A lot of times we do that, right? God is glorious, but is that really what's going on? Or are we just saying that because we know that's what Christians say and Christians are supposed to do? That's the big fight of our life. Seeing God is glorious because everything else falls into line. Right? When we see how great God is. Seeing his glory is seeing God. Having a pure heart enables us to see his glory, to see him as glorious, to see the beauty of his character on display in this life. So we've talked about this several times, but maybe you're newer and you haven't heard me talk about it. And we think about God's glory, right? And we think, well, that's can be pretty ambiguous, right? Sounds like a big thing. I don't know how to grasp it. So here's the best way I can explain it. God's character is so perfect. Any aspect of his character, it's his love, his compassion, his kindness, his forgiveness, his provision, his creation, something that he does or something that he is. It's so perfect that it's beautiful, right? So when we recognize it, when we see that on display, and we see and we connect the dots in our heart, in our mind, in our heart, in all of us, right? We connect the dots that, wow, this is amazing, and God did this, and therefore God is amazing because of this. We are seeing his glory, and we are beholding it. We are valuing his glory like we're supposed to do. That's what our goal is in life, to see God's glory, to value it. And then, of course, as you value it, right, it builds up into you and it comes out, right? It comes out in your lips. It comes out in sharing the gospel. It comes out in singing. It comes out in your good works and all of these things. But the first part is seeing God as glorious. Now, the Bible says that his glory fills the earth. It's out there. It's everywhere. It's in here. It's in you. It's in the way we interact with each other. The key is to see it, to recognize it. That's how we live. That's how what we live for. That's what fuels everything. God's glory. We live to recognize it and to cherish it rightly, and then it changes us. Right? So we tend to think, if I do this, you know, then it'll result in a better relationship with God. But that's not how the Bible describes it. The Bible says, when you see God is glorious because of what God has done, he opens your eyes and he's showing it and he's revealing that, and the Holy Spirit helps you see that. When you see him as glorious, that's when you're changed from one degree of holiness or glory to the next. That's what produces the fruit. That's what spurs you on to love and good works. And I'll tell you the verse, one of the verses that explains it this way. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, we all with unveiled face, right? Now we can see. With unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, right? In Christ-likeness, from one degree of glory to another. That's what does it. You want to be, it's cyclical, isn't it? We need God to open our eyes to see his glory. His glory produces in us a pure heart. It draws us near to God. We can see God even more. And we see his glory even more. It changes us from one degree of glory to the next. But seeing his glory is the key. Purity in heart leads to living for our eternal goal and our purpose of living here on earth, the glory of God. You want God to draw near to you? You want to see God? See his glory? Then we must have pure hearts. James says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded, right? Be single-minded. So this is what sin does, right? It wants to wreck that purity. In fact, it's not in my sermon, but I'll go ahead and read the next verse in 2 Corinthians. Pork chops. This is what Satan wants to do to keep us from seeing the glory of God. Minds are hardened to this day. Well, no, that's not the verse. Even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the god of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. All right, so that's what Satan wants to do to unbelievers, to us. He wants to keep us from seeing God's glory. Therefore, impure hearts, not seeing God. So that's the fight. The fight is certainly against sin, but for the purpose of seeing the glory of God. Holding God is glorious above all these sinful things in this world. That's what the battle is. Have a single focused mind and heart, a united heart, purified heart. Therefore, you will be blessed. You will be blessed. You will be happy. And this is how it happens. You have to have faith that it will. You have to have faith that the glory of God is going to make me happier than this sin that I'm chasing. Delighting and being satisfied in Jesus is going to make me happier than this thing that I'm going to give in to. We must make Jesus the satisfaction of our hearts, the sole focus of our hearts, so that with the purity in heart we will find this blessedness, this happiness. Now you might be saying to me what I say to myself, Pastor, this is impossible because my heart seems anything but pure. I can't even get into that cycle where I see God's glory. I often struggle to believe because of the things that are going on. I struggle. I'm so deep in the struggle with sin that thinking about God's glory is the last thing I do. I'm in that boat with you. In fact, when I look through these Beatitudes, when I look through all of them, one by one, that's the continuing theme, right? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn, right? Mourn their sin. Blessed are the meek. How much do I struggle with that? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Then we'll continue on. Blessed are the peacemakers. Right? When I look at those, I think, that's not me. This is going to be impossible for me. But I've got good news for you. With God, all things are possible. The pure heart isn't a sinless heart, or we'd never see God. It's a heart that desires to be sinless. You're in the battle. You're in the thick of it. You're fighting to see, as Satan is fighting to veil your face so you can't see the glory of God. You're fighting to see. And some days are bad days, right? And he seems like he's doing what he's out to do. But that heart that wants Jesus, that maybe that's supposed to be a burning flame, is just a flicker, a smoldering wick, right? You need help, right? Thank God for Jesus Christ, for our Lord. Right, a smoldering wick he will not quench. He moves in us. He pulls us back to him. Every time we let go of him, he hangs on to us. Every time we turn from him, he turns us back to him. He doesn't give up on us when we give up on him. Because we are his, and that means something to him. Think about that. That means something to him, that you are his. And he's not going to let Satan snatch you from his hand. He's going to keep bringing you back. Keep rubbing your eyes so that you can see God's glory more clear and more clear in this life. That's our Savior. That's what God does. He motivates us to grow in holiness. You ever start feeling bad for your sin and start thinking, oh, I'm the worst? Where do you think that thought comes from? Because you're such a good, smart person that, you know, you mourn over your own sin in that way? No, God is moving in you. That's the first step. He's moving in you, calling you back to repentance so that he can purify that heart, so that he can open your eyes to see his glory. He's not giving up on you. That's what God does for you in Jesus Christ. That's the heart that grows in purity as we see his glory more and more as we fight. And it's a fight. This is the ideal Christian life, and this is the life that he's called us to, the most blessed, the most happy life. So I have some points of application. And I went quickly through that because I know our time is a little shorter. But I do have 9 points of application. Turn that bulletin over, go get a new one, here we go. First, purify your heart by bringing sin into the light. A pure heart isn't one that never sins. It's one that doesn't want to hide sin. When you become aware of bitterness or lust or envy, pride, greed, resentment, self-pity, anger, unforgiveness, desire for constant approval of man, don't rationalize it. Don't justify it. Name it before God. Lord, I lust. Lord, I envy. And then say, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there is any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Second, watch what you allow into your pure heart. Pay attention to what is shaping your inner person. Ask yourself, what am I watching? What am I listening to? What am I repeatedly allowing myself to think about? Who am I allowing to influence me? What am I laughing at? What am I becoming comfortable with? Don't only ask, is it sinful? Ask, is this helpful? What is this doing to my heart? How is it shaping my heart? Third, don't just remove bad things. Fill your heart with better things. Jesus doesn't simply give us something to stop loving in our sin. He gives us something better to love in himself. So the question is, what are you putting into your heart that makes Jesus more beautiful to you? Not just what do I need to cut out. What's helping me see God's glory? Don't just read scripture to read it because you're supposed to read it. Look for God there. Look to see God there. Don't just pray because you're supposed to pray and go through the motions or pray just to get things from God. Seek God. Seek that conversation with God. Listen for him in prayer. Fourth, train yourself to stop and notice God's glory because it's everywhere. It's everywhere. It's probably the most practical application to they shall see God because his glory is everywhere. We're just too distracted to notice it. We're too caught up with what we have going on or what we have going on in the future to slow down and think, wow, this is awesome. You ever go sightseeing? I have a family member that will not be named. You guys haven't met them. They're very, God bless them, type A personality, schedule oriented. And so if you go somewhere, it's like, okay, this is this. It's amazing. All right, let's move on to the next. Okay, and there's no time in the schedule to stop and say, wow, what's going on here? What happened here? That's what we need to do. We need to slow down to see God's glory. The heavens declare the glory of God. But we drive past a beautiful sunset thinking about our schedule or thinking about money or thinking about that person who upset us. And we're missing what's right before us. We're so quickly, it's so easy to recognize the sin in others that we fail to stop and see the work of the Holy Spirit that's happening in them. How far they've come. What God is doing in them and through them. Fifth, ask this question when you read scripture. What does this show me about God? Don't read it as, okay, what am I supposed to do or not do? But what is this telling me about God's glory? What is he saying about himself? What does this reveal about Jesus Christ? And how does that change me from the inside? How is God's glorious? How is God glorious? Sixth, watch your desires, not just your behavior. Behavior modification only modifies behavior. It doesn't touch the heart. It doesn't address the state of the heart, the condition of the heart, what the heart needs. It's like somebody giving somebody with a bullet hole a Band-Aid. You can behave correctly while your heart is rotten. You can come to church. You can give. You can read your Bible and pray and serve. And avoid obvious sins or the bad sins that you want to label. Yet inwardly craving recognition and control and self-comfort and money and sex and power and people's approval and all those things that we allow ourselves to be okay with. Because it doesn't manifest itself in our behavior. Seventh, guard against a divided heart. Ask what competes with God for my affection. Jesus says, wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So look at your calendar and your money and your attention and your thought life and your entertainment. If God took this away from me, and I would still have him, would he still be enough? Unite my heart to fear your name. 8, repent quickly. A pure heart doesn't mean you never get dirty. It means you don't want to stay dirty. When the Holy Spirit exposes something, don't defend it, don't excuse it, don't justify it, don't blame somebody else, don't wait 3 weeks to deal with it. Repent when he brings it to your heart. Turn to the Lord. And last, see, they weren't that bad. They weren't, right? Practice gratitude. Look at what God has given you. Start looking for God's goodness throughout the day. Start looking for what he's already blessed you with. Recite those things to yourself. Remind those things to yourself. We forget how glorious God has interacted with us because we forget these things. We stop treasuring them. And then when a hard time comes and we think, where's God? And we forget about all the things that God has done and what he's been for us. Don't lose sight of those. Noticing God's gifts trains you to notice the giver. And glorifying the giver is what it's all about. See the giver. See his glory. Purity in heart is a gift from God. It's a blessing, but it's a command. But it's a command so that you may see him. So that you will be happy. See his glory. See his beauty. See him for who he really is. Right now you see as if in a mirror dimly, right? But then, someday, one day, when Christ returns, we're going to see that glory face to face. And it's going to be amazing. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you open our eyes to see your glory. You declare our hearts to be pure so that we can see your glory, but we continue to defile them. Unite our hearts. Purify our hearts. Draw our hearts near to you, we pray, Lord Jesus. Help us care about the state and condition of our heart. Help us to care about your glory. Help us all today to see you as glorious and become addicted to seeing and beholding your glory. Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you who you are for us and what you do in us. In Jesus' name, amen.